Look, we back at it, Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head West up Coast. In here. You got a pre-roll.
Yeah, we have a pre-roll. This is a non-paid advertisement. Today's
it ain't a pre-roll, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Crystal Bliss.
Oh, that's the Homegrown.
By Devi Dev.
You got to get it right, bro. Devi Brown.
Oh,
you fucking up. Told you.
Well, nah, you know what? I'm just reading what Lupe put on the thing.
Pass the
turn
buck.
The mic on.
Pass the
turn
buck.
The mic.
Hold on. Hold on.
Wait.
Oh, wait. The mic ain't plugged in because shouts to the Essentials Radio for always unplugging
this
shit.
God damn it. Fucking Letty and...
Nope.
No, Letty, I mean not Letty. Liz.
You fucking all the way...
fucking Liz and...
Yo, what a way to fucking start the show, dog.
Hey, so shout out to Devi Brown with all her shit. All right? So I fucked that up.
She dropping gems and all that.
Yeah, yeah. She
just order the book. That's all you need to know.
Just buy the goddamn book. It's on the website, homegrownradio.net.
Absolutely, man. And in the house with us right now, man, a homegrown homie. And let me just start by saying the last time we had him in, I fucked up by not actually recording the show. So we are good. We are straight. That levels is up. We got Real Deal P, a.k.a. Polyester the Saint up in the house with us right now. What's going on, bro?
Hey, Polyester is here wearing a cotton hoodie.
That's right.
You know, because that makes fucking sense.
So is that blasphemous? It's not blasphemous.
Nah, it's just, you know, I would expect him to be in, like, I remember.
The first time we ever
had polyester come through, Chuck told me, he was like, yeah, we're going to have polyester. I'm like, who the fuck is polyester? And then you came through and you had on a dashiki and an afro and a fist pick.
No, I don't think he didn't have no fist pick. He had some wine, though. He had some
Jesus juice.
Yes.
He had his own wine, man. It was a West Side wine sipper.
What kind of shoes did you have on?
Probably some house shoes or something.
Yeah, some fucking house shoes, bro.
Right.
If you guys not familiar, artist, you know what I'm saying, producer. And what I like to say, man, for the people that aren't really too familiar, man, this dude really helped lay the foundation in L.A. hip-hop, as we kind of know it as of right now. I mean, when shit was dry out here, you know what I mean, this dude, along with a lot of other folks, really helped lay that foundation and set forth in motion this new L.A. hip-hop scene, man. And first of all, we just got to pay homage to that.
They
you
set
know what
the
saying?
Crees up.
Yeah, that's right.
That's some real shit. I mean, no, but for real, talk about that because a lot of people don't. It's funny now because L.A. is on, right? Right. And a lot of people don't know that era before when shit was dry, you know what I'm saying? 2006, 2007, like earlier on, you know what I mean? So your mindset at that time, like, were you like, man, fuck it, we just going to pop and do our own thing? Or what was the mentality at that point?
Yeah, at that time I was like, because I had been like engineering and lightweight producing for like a lot of different artists that were like signed artists. And I just got tired of like everybody I worked with was not from here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my whole motive. Was
I'm tired
like,
of that shit too.
You know what I'm saying? Like everybody, they'd ask me where I was from. I'm like, right here.
Right here.
Like, you know.
Can you say who you were working with at the time?
I worked with B2K when Bump 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 was out, and
damn.
Like I worked with just a lot. I don't know, just a lot of Mims. This is why I'm hot.
Yeah,
that era, like that kind of time.
And
I
was
like
engineering at the time.
Engineering and then like kind of lightweight producing the different people and stuff like that. Working with other producers that were like on at the time and stuff like that, you know. And I was just I just got tired of working with signed artists that were to record labels, because I worked with a lot of artists that never even came out, you know what I'm saying? And it would just be tedious and they weren't even talking about what I want to hear, you know. So
right.
That's why I started, you know, reaching out or working with people or looking for people that was like Dom Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when I met him, he had like 25th Hour was out, like it had just came out.
Damn.
So then when we linked up, it was like, all right, man, let's go in here, change the game. So then we, you know, did a lot of everything, you know, went around the whole United States a couple times and did a lot of projects. KC Veggies, he was like 14 years old. He used to come work with me at my studio in the Valley with my boy Lazy Lou.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then Overdose and
shout out to Overdose.
A bunch, you know,
yeah, no,
a
that,
bunch
that,
of everybody, era. L.A. cats, you know, at the time, you and I,
Pac Div,
Pac Div, that whole, like, era, you know, at that time, there was no real, like, collective scene at the time. So then that's why I did that Curly Tops and Nautica jacket and put everybody on that project. And then, you know, and when you look at the names on there, everybody kind of went on to do their thing.
Right, right.
The thing is, like, what I notice is dope about, like, we're talking like mid 2000s, something like that. Almost about, almost 10 years ago.
2008.
Yeah. Ish, right? So like, what's dope about it is I remember that I was around. We was all right. around.
Yeah.
And there was no scene. It was no, there was no fucking radio station supporting.
Right.
There was no, it was just Chuck's bedroom. We was doing homegrown, or he was doing his shit. And then it was like people like you who was like, okay, ain't nobody fucking with them. All right, I'm gonna fuck with them. All right, ain't nobody. Yeah. It was just like, it was kind of like almost like a survival tactic.
Mechanism. It was by necessity.
It was by necessity, right? And that's the crazy thing about what I always talk about, like how different generations come in the music scene, and then how LA, we so segregated. Like our OGs don't fuck with us, and this person don't fuck with this person and whatnot. But it's interesting that in that aspect, that when nobody fuck with you, you end up fucking with each other,
right? Right, right, right.
I just think that that's dope.
And I don't think it was the OGs wasn't really messing with us. I think the OGs were at a point, it was like, just like it was confusion for us, it was confusion for them. Like, where are they going with it? Mm-hmm. What are they? And they can't help us if they can't even help themselves. Right. You know what I'm saying? I met a lot of rappers that was OGs. Then when I got to get around their situation, I'm like, man, we low-key doing better than you. Yeah. Right, you know what I'm saying?
And there's no shot. It's just that's the reality of the situation.
It's just reality. So, yeah, it wasn't – once I got around that, then I got to see. I was like, okay, there was really nothing you could do for me. It's actually better if I do a song with you.
Yeah.
At this day and age. Word. You know what I'm saying? So, but no disrespect to none of the OGs. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah.
Now, do you think now, you have to travel a lot.
Yeah.
But that was early, like – do you think that helped you?
Or yeah, definitely.
Because
definitely.
I noticed like a lot of people who get out of here and like.
Oh yeah, I'm leaving Tuesday to London and then Paris. Now I'm gonna go to Paris because I have a lot of love in Paris. That's so I'll say that.
So what aside from the love, what is it about specifically Paris that? Because you watch the second or third time going out there, right?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, my whole thing has always been on like wine and classic, authentic West Coast. Like when I went out there the last time, they was pulling up on lowrider bikes.
Get out of here! So kind of similar to Japan. Like I hear Japan is the same.
Japan
same
is
way.
Like that. Yeah.
I never been to Japan, but the thing that I can notice that for the homies that are in Paris is whatever it is that they're into at that time, they're not going to take it off. Like, this is who they... I got to be around them enough, like, oh, this ain't your costume. You really wear Dickies every day, whether I'm here or not. You know what I'm saying? You really have braids. You really, you know...
They're not trying to impress you.
Yeah, they're not. They're like, this is what I'm about.
It's
like,
hip-hop.
It's like, they liked what that was, and then they stick with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was amazed when I went to the club, and they were playing... This is how we do, or just, you know, like old songs. But I got to see why it's like we like stuff out here for a time period. Mm-hmm. Like they like stuff
and
forever.
They stay with it. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, they was like, oh, I like that song. I like it forever. You know what I'm saying? So we still play that.
Damn.
We still want that. And that, you know,
when you
want
to get one of those records that they listen to for 30 years.
But see, that's the thing. That's kind of why I feel like that's kind of why they mess with me, because they see that, like, I always rep the West, always house shoesed up. I'm always, you know, West Coast. So that, you know, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why they see that in me and they hear it in the music. Like, no matter what's going on, trap, this, that, I'm always funky West, you know what I'm saying? Barbecue music.
When you going back to Denver?
When they have some money for us.
Yeah, y'all was talking
when they have a crowd for us. How about that?
Y'all were talking off air about these damn biscuits.
Oh yeah, tell the story.
So basically, we get there, we need to get somebody. I don't remember what the restaurant was called.
So you guys were in Denver together.
We was in Denver together.
We got booked to do an event together, and we went to go eat, and the biscuits were bomb.
Fire.
But when we were about to leave, he asked for a to-go box. I'm thinking, like, you know, out here, they'd be like, oh, we're going to charge you $10.
Right.
Like, they gave him a full box.
Like, it was ketchup.
Full box of, like, 20 Biscuits.
These biscuit. Let me tell you something. Okay? It's two times I remember biscuits in my life. One.
All my life. I just remember two times.
Fuck you. One instance is when I was in Alabama, and they had these cheddar cheese biscuit joints, and then another time when we was in Denver, and these biscuits were fucking
amazing.
What
was it about the biscuits, though?
I don't know.
No, like, okay. It was just like,
I'm mad at both of y'all confused. Yeah, like, shit,
I don't know
biscuit.
What it was about these bomb, biscuits, like, but okay. I had to have some of this shit later.
So you ordered 20 of them. They give you a box. They give you a box to go. Without charging you.
So then we laughing at him like, look at, like, what you doing? Like, you really gonna leave with all these? He was like, watch, y'all gonna want one later when we hungry, and I'm gonna charge you for them too.
Off top.
And like probably like 3 hours later, a couple of us was like, hey, bro, like,
wait, what's up with them biscuits?
Let me get one of them biscuits, bro. We
sure
sitting
enough.
In here in Denver, we don't know nothing about nothing. We mm-hmm. don't we like mm-hmm.
So yeah. This is the story of my fucking life. People teasing me about shit and then doubling back. It's like, oh shit, damn, you was right. Yeah. Yeah. All you motherfuckers that tease me about biscuits and all you women who tease me about not learning how to cook when you was 22, you lonely and you 45. Kiss my ass.
He's always gonna make sure that's known.
Right.
West Coast.
Let it be known.
Right. On top of that, West Coast.
Yeah, on top of that.
Bless
West
that
Coast.
Real quick. Now a rolling theme that we have within this show, we've been kind of just saying, like, it's been organic as we've been talking. Like, for the folks that we have been having up here as far as chopping it up on air and off air,
right.
Is authentically L.A., just being
right.
authentic. Like,
right.
100% unapologetically L.A., and I feel like you fit that category
right.
to the T. You know what I'm saying? Now, from your perception, do you think that helps or that hurts an artist? Because, I mean, we have different artists that are out here doing their thing that mm-hmm. may gravitate to a different sound, but could help push the culture forward. Do you think that helps or hurts when somebody's unapologetically themselves at L.A.? Because I remember you know what it was to be too West Coast.
And I was considered that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I would have meetings. I would have meetings at these record labels, Interscope, all of them. You know what I'm saying? And then they'd hear like, oh, I heard you did this. And then they'd be like, oh, this is cool, but this is too West Coast. But I'm like, okay, like, that's what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's where I'm from.
Yeah, like, you don't go to an Italian spot and be like, oh, this is
too Italian.
Yeah, this is too Italian.
This
you know what I'm saying?
Is too Italian.
You guys are here, so what should you expect?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and for me, I think, I mean, with different artists, I think it's like, honestly, it's just, where do you see yourself in 20 years? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you trying to be? What are you trying to represent? Me, I represent everybody in this room.
Yeah.
Like, I chose that a long time ago. I chose up. Like, this is what side I'm on. No matter what the sound is doing, I'm just going to ride, you know, and take this where it takes me. And it's taking me around the whole.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and there has been times where people have come up to me and be like, oh, what if you did a song like this or like that? And it's like, I never really move off stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never move off. If it doesn't move me, then I can't do it.
The elevation of where you come from, like when I first met you,
right.
to where you are now, is crazy. And I noticed that there's a specific class or school of people who
right.
kind of graduated.
Right.
So to speak.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's people like all the homies we used to fuck with, they
right.
all got deals, or they all
right.
successful, they all be on tour or whatever.
Right.
Who are you working with now that you always wanted to work with since then? Like, anybody that you kind of scratched that itch where it's like, damn, I did that?
I mean, me and Dom still work. Me and Casey still work. Those are probably like some of the two main ones that from back in that day that we still have a working relationship.
Yeah.
Some of them, it's like, you know, everybody's doing their thing.
I'm talking about anybody newer or anybody that you...
Well, somebody... I mean, I don't know that I've always... But somebody new that I work with is, you know, G. Perico.
Yeah.
We got a good...
So way out.
We got a good thing going.
By the way, that Get My Stacks is my favorite song off that fucking... Oh,
yeah.
Man, like, straight up.
Well, if you like Get My Stacks, you're going to like this new album that he's coming out with, too.
What's the album called?
I'm gonna let him tell you.
I'm trying to see.
Hey, you see, right. sound bite.
Yeah, I'm gonna let him tell you.
Yeah.
You know, and my album, I got a new album coming out too called American Muscle 5.0.
Okay.
And we got songs on there. I got songs with Freddie Gibbs, Currency,
nice.
Problem, Buddy.
Hey, what's it like working with Currency?
It's cool.
Is it a different process? Because I heard that.
Nah.
No.
He's like a Louis.
Hella high and.
Yeah, he does, but he's controlled of his high. He's a professional high man.
Right. Like Wiz.
Yeah. So, like. So, no, it's cool. It's the funny thing about him is, like, he's from Louisiana, but he loves the culture, L.A.
Yeah.
He loves L.A.
Yeah.
to the music, the cars, the clothes,
culture.
The everything. So that's why when me and him linked up and when he linked up with G, it was just real authentic and real cool. Like, even when I went out to New Orleans and linked up with him, too, at his auto body shop and kicked in and stuff like that, it was real easy.
So why this 5.0? Why are we upgrading from the last project?
It's really not so much of an upgrade. It's more like, so the last one was American Muscle. Mm-hmm. Then I did American Muscle SS just for hard copies. And like people who bought the hard copies, that was just the same album with three new songs.
Okay.
And then this one's American 5.0. And so the thing is, I'm in the car club and car culture, and SS is a Chevy thing, you know. That's like the upper class super sport. You know what I mean? That's the upper class, you know, Chevy. The upper class Ford Mustang is a 5.0.
Yeah.
So I'm a Chevy man, and some of my people was like, you know, if you're gonna represent for all the cars and car music, you gotta show some love for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's why the 5.0 is like the love for the, you know, for the Ford drivers.
So could we say they're gonna be more extensions from this later down the line, or are you gonna end it with this? Like, yo, I can't please everybody, goddamn it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm gonna see where it takes me. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna see where it takes me.
Now,
I know next year though, I'm probably gonna drop like three projects. I have an instrumental album I've been working on.
Why haven't you done that before?
Because I'm just a lot, just doing a lot, and I want to do it. Since I'm a real musician that plays keys and instruments, I don't want it to be a CD of beats.
Gotcha.
I want it to be like actual music and, you know what I'm saying, stuff that changes and makes you feel a certain way and use my real talent. Because when I'm making hip-hop things, I'm really dumbing myself down to make it. You know what I'm saying? And it took me a while to learn that, because I could play. And whenever I would play people stuff like that, it would just go over their head. But if I play like the song I did with Dom, Choose Up, which was doom, 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 then that went.
Yeah,
that was the first time that I ever was like, what? What do you mean?
Y'all like this bullshit?
Yeah, like when I made it, that where it sounds is where they said, stop.
No more.
No more instruments. Just leave it just like that. I'm like, what? And we did it, and then everybody liked it.
So why? Okay, that's very interesting. So why? How come you're able to say, from a geographical landscape, like, all right, no, I don't want to switch my style up being LA.
Right.
But when it comes to oversimplifying shit.
Because simple works. Mm. Like your iPhone. Your iPhone, everybody has one because it works. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Man, and now, why don't you tell all these motherfucking knuckleheads out here this shit? Cause all these motherfuckers out here be playing their ass off, and I be trying to tell them, like, hey, simple is better.
Honestly, it's one of those things that you have to learn it to see. Even if somebody tells you, because when somebody told me, I didn't understand it until I sat and did some and listened, and then when it came out and everybody just jumped up crazy like they've been hearing it for 10 years, then I was like, okay. So, you know, that's why with the instrumental album, it's going to be some real lines on there.
So what do you feel when people say, oh, well, that's dumbing down the culture, so to speak?
Dumbing down the culture? What?
As simplifying far as, it.
Nah, you just got to simplify it in your way and make it neat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't really dumbing down the beat when, like, in a elementary way in that way. It's just more so making it repetitive and enough for somebody to catch it. Because I could play some lines or have some musician play some and to the common ear, they're just like, oh yeah, that was nice.
What all, like what all instruments you play?
Drums, piano, and a little bit of saxophone, a little bit of trumpet, but like mostly drums and piano.
Damn.
Yo, so okay, talk about this too,
because
I saw you post on your Instagram, and I've heard the story before in terms of Stevie Wonder giving you a keyboard at 13.
Right.
Set that up. How did that even happen? Like,
well, the thing is, him and my dad are real, real good friends.
Okay.
Like. Real good friends of before I was even born.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So he's known me my whole childhood. So it's just like he has a kid.
Stevie Wonder?
Right.
No, I'm just saying like.
No, I'm saying Stevie Wonder known you your whole childhood?
Yeah, my whole childhood. So like.
Saw you grow up.
Basically. I mean. Basically,
too soon.
Basically, so so you know, like it's like your boy has a son, and I started playing drums when I was 5. So then when I was 13, he was like, "Oh, what is he doing?" Like, "Oh, he's in jazz band." Okay, well, here's, you know, here's a Christmas gift for me.
Wow.
Boy, my boy to boy, here's a keyboard. But he, I don't know if, I mean, if he knew or whatever, but maybe he did know, like, that was gonna steer me into,
bro,
where
you
I
know
wanted
how much
to be.
Bread you could have got for that keyboard?
Nobody. I mean, I could tell you gave me this sweater. You gonna give me $100?
Hell no.
Okay, well,
unless you flip and do some nip sweater, but
he might. Hell no.
Well,
yeah,
it was a nice keyboard. It was really, really nice. It was something like a 13-year-old shouldn't have. Wow. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it wasn't one of them Casio joints, huh?
Nah.
It
let you make tracks on it. And the funny part about it was I didn't know how to work it all the way. So when I would make stuff, I would play the drum beat all the way. So if I wanted a song for 3 minutes, I'm playing the drums
for 3 minutes.
All the way down the song. Then I'm playing the piano for 3 minutes. Then I'm playing the whatever else I want to
add. I wasn't sequencing.
I didn't know how. Wow. I just got it and plugged it in. I was like, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? And it took me a while to understand all that. Before that, I wanted to be like a touring musician, like go on tour with somebody and play in the band. And then when I got that, I was like, no, I want to make my own songs.
That's crazy, bro. You know, like, life experience is different. Like, that's different. And then
I was just with him the other day, like,
with Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Last week.
Yeah, I was with Stevie.
I was with Stevie.
We was talking about this.
It was a real dope experience throughout my life. It hasn't been like on a consistent basis, but honestly, I think it is consistent. It's just on a different timetable. Like, say every 5 years, you meet up with somebody. It's kind of been like that.
Now, do you remind him each time? Like, hey, man, you know when you got me that at 13, or
I haven't had that talk with him because when I'm around them, the times I've been around them, it's one of those just soak everything in moments.
It's
an input moment. It's not an output. You know what I mean? I remember one time, this was like maybe like 10 years ago, he invited me to his studio and I got there before he did, and he has like pianos. He has like two of everything just like everywhere. So I'm just hopping around from piano to piano. Then he walked in. And then he went and sat down, and I got up. I was like, I can't play. You know what I mean?
I'm not going
to play while you play. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think I would now, but at that time, I wasn't ready to be playing.
That's an epic-ass little video, though. You could, like, you sitting there playing with him. Pause.
Right. Pause.
Please,
right.
Put the pause on that. Right?
So, yeah, but this last experience was really dope. I got to watch him teach his background singers, like, a song that he wrote, a new song. I got to go in the studio with him. I was like, he has, like, a compound, and I went to his studio, and he played me, like, three different new songs that he has.
Damn.
Stuff like that.
So when did the mindset switch for you to say, you know what, forget the touring, I want to actually go full-fledged and be an artist? Or, you know, at that point, what was the next step since you didn't
want to
touring?
The artist thing came way later. That came like as like a, just like I was doing, as you know, I was doing beats for people and then getting on the hook, and people were liking the hook so much, then I was just like, okay, well, what if I do my own songs? Mm-hmm. Then that's when I did that Something to Crease To, and that's when I went and sat with y'all.
God,
you know what I'm saying? At the house.
Absolutely.
And then so at that time I was just trying. I wasn't surprised that people liked it, but I was like, okay, it gave me another thing. And what I realized, it was like, since I make tracks, it was people that liked me for that, and then it was people that liked me for the beats. Or it put myself in my own destiny, because if you're just a producer, then you're subject to everybody who gets on your beats. If nobody gets on your beats, then what you doing?
You got no music, right?
Right.
You try to do a beat tape.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's,
and then
you
people are rapping on your beats,
exactly,
for free. You know, exactly. That's another reason why I didn't do one for a long time too. As I sell beats, this, I have a son, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't want to put out a beat tape and then people just rapping on it for free, you know. So, but anyways, that's how I look at it.
Are you in a relationship?
Yes, I am.
Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Are you close to getting married?
Nah.
Nah.
Why, I wouldn't say that.
Does she know that?
Yeah, she knows that.
No, yeah, I mean, that's an honest question.
No, she knows that. It's a fairly new thing. I was single for like 3-4 years.
That's not a long
time. So, I mean,
He was out there running them streets.
Man.
Oh, wow. Have you ever how long have you been in a relationship?
In this one?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's been a couple months, but we was cool for a cool year. Just said, all right, for this year, we're just going to vibe and hang out.
How do you say?
This is the first time I ever did that.
Really?
That I ever met somebody. Like, as cool as we are, probably after 2-3 months, I would have been like, boom, handcuffed.
Right.
You feel me? But
really? Yeah, so I noticed that, like, it's kind of that I've experienced that where you got to be somebody's friend first.
For a year.
And I never done that before.
I never did it until this time. And it seemed to work. It seemed to work as
right
of yet, you know?
So let me ask you this, right? Because there's a lot of this shit going on right now. A lot of relationship stuff going on.
Let's do it.
Let's say you married. Right?
I know you're going through this.
Let's say you're married to this woman. You find her very. You obviously have some sort of care, right?
Right.
But then you slip up. You know what I'm saying?
Up. All right.
Do you pay the ransom for the videotape?
Oh, no. Oh, I had this conversation today.
No,
ain't no ransoms being paid. Ain't nothing. It's just on the board. Like, look, this happened. It's in your hands now. You know what I'm saying?
So you on the lines with Kevin Hart?
I'm on the lines with me. I don't know nothing about what Kevin Hart's doing. Like, I know how my program runs.
So you polyester.
The saint.
The saint. Does not negotiate with terrorists.
No. At all. I had a situation that was weird like that, like some years back with an old girlfriend where a chick, she got mad. Like, I was with a girl, then we broke up. Then I started talking to this other one, and then I was like, nah, you weak. I let her go. Like, 5 months later, she started hitting my original girl up, like, oh, I'm with him right now. I'm da-da-da-da-da. I was with him last week. And then it was, like, a little couple days of confusion. Then my girl started realizing, like, how was you with him when I was with him?
Yeah.
And then she, like, sent her a picture of me and her, like, chilling. And my hair was short. And at the time, my hair was long. Like, so it was like, she was like, oh. And at first, she couldn't believe that a girl would do that. But, you know, girls will do anything in this world, good or bad.
Absolutely. Not girls, people.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna say that the prime suspect
right.
would be these types of women, but
right.
So that wasn't necessarily an extortion attempt. That was just more
just
so,
a sabotage.
She wanted to disrupt your situation.
She was trying to smut his name.
Yeah.
You know? In the house.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's not like she went on fucking MySpace and fucking Twitter or anything.
I mean,
like
at
that.
The I forgave her after years because you know why? It's like we like go-getters. You know, women like go-getters. We like go-getters. She was just trying to get hers. She just didn't get it.
So
I respect that.
You do?
I respect that. You tried to get yours, but you didn't get it.
It didn't work.
Oh, no, I don't respect that.
You don't respect that?
No.
You don't respect what the fact that she's trying to get
hers? Because you know why? It's good and bad at all times. If you don't respect each one, then you don't know where you're going. It let me know how good I am. That she
oh, you flipped into some vain shit.
Nah, not no vain. Just what time it is.
Yeah.
You got to know what time it is so you know where you're going.
I look at it in a similar fashion, but I also am very, I don't know. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but I don't necessarily condone that type of behavior.
I don't either.
On any, because I look at small things, right? I look at the minutia of certain things, right? So it could be something as simple as a woman being too into herself, like taking too many selfies. That's a red flag for me.
Right.
Because at that point, it's like, okay, what are you looking for? You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're in a relationship.
But,
so I look at little things like that, and I look at it, and I magnify it to a big. So I look at, okay, say you tripping right now over me not picking up my phone. I'm doing the podcast.
Right.
But what if I really don't pick up my phone for 2 days? Like, I'm really on some shit. So now I'm looking at, like, that's how I take little things, and I look at it on a big scale.
See, with her, trust me, it took me a little bit of time to think of it like this, but it looked at it like, in terms of me, it's like if a squirrel came and tried to run off with your food and they tried to get it, but they didn't, you'd just be like, oh, look at that little squirrel. Oh, he tried to get his. You're not going to get all mad. But if a nigga came and tried to grab, can I say nigga?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, you can say whatever you want to say.
You'd be like, you'd hop up and be like, what's happening? So She was a squirrel. But you know what I'm saying? She just trying to.
Here's the thing, and I get that. That's a very, very calm and humane way to look at it. I don't look at people's actions. I look at their intent.
Right. Her intent was to sabotage, and she lost.
And that's malicious intent. I don't fuck with that.
She lost. It's like a boxing match. If we get in a boxing match and I beat you up, I'm not going to be mad we still got in a fight. I'm going to be like, I won.
Okay, so that brings me to the next point. So you have you ever fought with the homies?
Slap box, yeah.
Not slap box. I'm talking about like a real, I'm talking about y'all had to get in and take a fair one. You had to take a fair one with the homie.
See, there's only been two homies that I ever got into it with, and I was probably the aggressor, and they didn't do nothing.
Got you. See, because I was having this conversation, too, and I was like, I don't know that I'm good enough of a person to fight one of the homies, and then we just get up and shake it off.
Oh, no, no, no.
It ain't none of that. Like, if you...
That's why I don't get into that that many times. That but this the time that I did, but it was because I had to.
Is it not the old girl? You trying to cause me harm. So I look at it at the, as the same principle. You're trying to harm me.
But see, the homies is the homies. Like a girl is a, she was a squirrel. That's what you got to understand.
You don't even acknowledge her as the same type. But I'm saying her intent was the same.
It don't matter.
And it didn't win.
And it don't.
If a baby slaps you, or he slaps you, the intent's the same, but the tap don't hurt the same.
Oh, so you judge the action. Yeah, see, I judge
right.
the intent.
Like, she tried to. It kind of like, and then it was like, nah, it's not doing nothing over here.
Got you. Nah, I mean, I get it. I respect your level of...
you know, it took a lot.
It took a lot.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to front like...
Say like he's all,
I came out smooth, but I have a little rough edges, you know?
My God. Yeah, I'm not that good of a person yet, bro. If you intend to cause me harm, if you intentionally cause me harm, at that point, I can't do it from that point moving forward.
Right.
I'm sorry. This is totally fucking off. Some totally different shit. Do you have family in Houston or
I do have family in Houston. I do. My mom is from Houston.
Oh, shit.
And my dad's from Louisiana. So yeah, I do have family in Houston, and all of them are good. Yeah. Except I was talking to them while my mom and them was talking to them while I was going on, and like the only thing is like the water was so high they couldn't leave the house for like a couple days. But
yeah. Were they prepared for it? Like,
I don't think so.
Cause I know, like I saw pictures. Yeah. Like I saw a video. One of the homies, JoJo, who worked at Kiss FM, he showed me his mom's house, and the water was damn near covering the whole garage.
Oh yeah, it was serious.
That shit was crazy.
And I'm looking out there, same thing.
Like, what?
I said, Mom, stay out there. It's the same shit.
So I'm looking like, how do you fucking prepare for some shit like that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't even know, bro. I really don't know. I'm blessed. California, thank you.
Well, shit getting kind of rocky out here.
That's cool. I'll take all day.
I rides with them earthquakes. Yep. I slept through the one the other day.
I did too.
That's the first time I ever slept through an earthquake. And the other ones, I felt them and kept it moving.
How do you feel like? Do you feel like we take natural disasters serious enough?
No, we don't.
Because they don't do nothing.
Don't do enough effect to us, which I'm glad they don't. But you know what I'm saying? It doesn't stop our program.
Yeah, prayers up to Mexico because that shit fucked it. Right.
That shit fucked some shit up in Mexico.
All the way up.
Yeah.
What do you think about all, like, I'm on some conspiracy shit. Like, I feel like all the shit, like.
Like they're controlling it and
it's like
causing
four
them.
Four or five hurricanes, three earthquakes in the last fucking month. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, they have hurricane season and shit. I get that.
But none of them have been this big.
None of them have been
I have
this
a theory.
Big. Go ahead.
I have a theory that, I actually was, who was I talking? I was talking to somebody about it. I saw and I read an article. But all this is after the lunar eclipse. So, like, the lunar shit always does affect different things that we don't necessarily know about.
Right.
If you go back and look at it, I was looking at I don't know if it was an article or a timeline, but every time there's a major astronomical event, it affects our Earth in some way, shape, or form. Like, sometimes there's solar flares. Sometimes there's increased, you know, warming on the Earth. Sometimes, like, we had a heat wave out here. Yeah. Then there was a tornado out
that
here.
Was, you're right.
Then we had, you know, it was 90 degrees at my house. I live in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
It started raining out of nowhere.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just different shit be happening because we... I just know that this world show you just how small you are real fast.
And this world is living. So, you know, just like us, it purges itself. And at sometimes it might not be to our benefit. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's going to have to shed its skin or whatever. However it does, it's going to do it. You know what I mean?
Do you ever worry about that type of shit?
Nope.
So that's why you think we don't take it serious?
That's why I live my life to the fullest. So
every
when
day.
It's said and done, I at least did something somebody could talk about.
At this point, what's one of the things on your bucket list? What's one thing you got to knock off your goals? Like we always
I want to go to Burning Man.
Say it again,
man. I'm gonna go with you.
What's that?
Burning Man.
Burning Man. Just look it up.
I don't even want to explain. Look it on your own time.
Yeah, look it on your own time. So you can give
it the real amount. I've been wanting to go for 10 years. That's the thing.
Imagine,
I'm so mad
just
I haven't.
Real quick, just imagine going somewhere where they're pretty much you live without societal norms or laws.
Shit, okay.
For a weekend or whatever. However
it's like 6 or 7 days, yeah. But some people only stay for a couple days.
Yeah, so say you go Thursday through Sunday, but there's no societal norms, there's no money, and there's no real societal law, so to say. So you govern yourself. It's self-governed.
You mean no laws?
Everybody. So basically, everybody's cool.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Everybody's cool with each other. Everybody brings their stuff and brings stuff to give to people. So you don't need any water, food, or anything. And they have a bunch of camps. And they all set it up, and it's music and art and all this stuff. 24/7.
So are people held accountable for the shit they do out there too?
I mean, everybody, you know, is respectful. That one of my friends just went for the first time, and when she came back, she told me, she was like, it's the greatest place on earth at the time when it happens.
Yeah,
like,
see, the homie,
you come back changed. Like, you be like wondering why we don't act like this. Why do we walk by each other and don't say hi on the street?
That's crazy.
Fucking Schultz.
Andrew, you went out there?
Andrew went to Burning Man the last 2 years, and he said it's like one of the most exhilarating, like, freeing experiences ever.
Get the fuck out of here.
Because, like, when you go to something like Burning Man, like, the way he describes it is more or less, like, it's just people. Mm-hmm. And you're living, like, human beings. There's no money. There's only bar. Like, you have to bring something to... It's like a potluck, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it's like, I came here and I brought a hella waters for everybody. And then Tomas will come, and Tomas brought hella sandwiches for everybody. And this person brought a shower set up. This person brought some sleeping bags. Mm-hmm. It's just a communal effort.
And it's a gang of people.
And it's a gang of motherfucking people.
When you say gang, I just...
Like, a lot. Like...
Thousands, 100,000.
Thousands.
At the most recent one, someone died because they ran into the fire. They At the end of Burning Man, they set this big-ass man on fire. Right. And so somebody just took off running into that motherfucker.
So I'm gonna go with.
See, I don't know
that part about it is not what I want to do.
Yeah,
but all the other shenanigans, I want to go do that. You know what
part
I'm saying?
Part of that.
So yeah, that's something I definitely want to fuck with that though.
Right.
I think that's cool. Now I do want to, real quick, I do want to touch on like.
Okay.
Do you indulge in any kind of like? Do you medicate? Do you drink?
I drink wine. I don't smoke weed. I've smoked weed. I haven't smoked weed in probably like 3 years, I'd say. It never was like a big habit of mine. I think what people get out of weed, I get in wine.
Mm.
So like wine is my weed.
Because I want to touch on this real quick. The homie Chuck is celebrating a year.
Your whole fucking
sober.
Year, man. I
you
ain't
know what I'm saying?
You haven't
year,
had a drink?
I had a drink in a year.
So, bro. I do want
to celebrate. See, I didn't do that before. No, I'm sorry to cut
no,
you
no,
off.
No, go ahead.
But how I got into wine is like, I remember when I started really, really liking it, then I spent like a whole year where I only drank wine. And then that year just so happened to be the year that I first went on tour. So that was like the most craziest thing to do because everywhere we went to Texas and I'm like, can I get some wine? And they're looking at me like,
nah, right.
Who are you?
Like, wait, what year was this?
2012, I think.
Okay. Because I remember when we did the interview, and because at the time I was like, yo, what you want to drink? He was like, yo, just wine. Just
exactly.
Shoot me some wine. I'm good.
Because I did it a couple times in my lifetime. I've done it where I went only wine, and that was almost like
not drinking,
yeah. You know, or not drinking alcohol because.
What is it, red wine?
I like white wine. White I like wine. To eat with red wine. Like red wine, I'll eat steak or pasta with, you know, but white wine, I drink. In the morning,
really?
You know what I'm saying? Or anytime.
Chilled while wine in the morning. Like 7:30 in the morning or like 8:00?
Like whenever I get up, I might have some, you know, I might have breakfast with a glass of wine.
So like a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and some white wine?
No, more like some eggs, turkey bacon, some toast.
And white wine.
And white wine.
Got you. Because like, when you said it, I picture like a bowl of Cheerios and a glass of white wine.
Hey, you can
like,
tell your ass fucking single than a motherfucker right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah,
bro.
I am single.
He said a bowl of fucking cinnamon toast.
Hey,
lunch.
You know what? Shout out to that.
I haven't had cereal in a minute, to be honest. I just thought about that.
I just bought a box today. Shout out to that fucking worker at Trader Joe's. I don't know what her name was.
You sound like we knew her.
I was at Trader
Sharkeesha.
Joe's.
Sharkeesha.
Yeah, right.
No, it's a Sharkeesha. No.
Sharkeesha, no.
No, she played me. I think I was buying like a sandwich wrap.
Yeah.
And a little salad. And she looked at me and she, I'll just put those two items on the conveyor
like
belt.
That's it.
That's all I was buying.
Yeah.
And she looked at me, she says, is this lunch or dinner? I said, this dinner. She's like, oh yeah. I said, yeah, I'm single. She's like, yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Fucking bitch.
Nah, I can't even lie. Trader Joe's at one point, Trader Joe's fed me every day for like one time for like a cool like 6-7 months.
Real
I was
shit.
Just Trader Joe's-ing it up.
Like, yeah, real bruh. Shit, bro.
That should remind me of college, bro.
Hey, like we out here
surviving. Gotta get your shit going on.
We out here,
right?
All right, man. So what do you feel like? You know, over the course of your career, in terms of these projects, man.
Right.
We've had the pleasure of seeing you know you progress over the years. Where do you feel like the sound for yourself is going? Where do you want to you know experiment or take your sound within the next you know couple years? Or is that something you even think about?
Yeah, I do. More importantly than just me, is I like that, like, with some of the new artists like G Perico, Jay Worthy, you know, even the homie Les from Texas. Mm-hmm. It's like the sound that I do for myself is also working for other people. Because some of the times, some of the stuff I did with Dom or did with Nipsey, it was like their type of thing. Gotcha. It was me with them.
Right.
But like when I'm doing songs with these guys, it's like it easily goes hand in hand. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of like how the sound is just getting bigger for everybody. And I just want to see it win, and it seems like that's what people want to hear. You
who's
know,
the, who's the out of the people that you work with? A lot of people. Who's the easiest to work with? Who's the hardest to work with?
Man, I mean, I don't.
Just based on your personal experience, like you being around, being in the studio, corresponding through email, not communicating, whatever it is.
See, I honestly don't go through that a lot, just because a lot of the people that I work with, I talk to them on a not on a daily, but like on a weekly or we talk about other things. Yeah, we have a rapport. Like we might just meet up and go eat. Like when I first worked with Nipsey, we met up at the studio 3 times, but we just talked for like 6 hours. We made a song. You know what I mean? So it was like the relationship was different. So I don't really go through that too much hard times of you know, and I don't stretch myself. There's been some artists that want to work with me, but I like to make the song. I don't like sending beats on the email or here, take these 10 beats and pick one. Like I like to meet with the person and make it on the spot, or let's meet up and let me play you some stuff. I don't really like sending stuff through the email. So I don't really go
through
that.
So you would be the difficult one in the relationship then?
I guess so.
I guess so. But I mean, the product
send me some shit.
Because producers will understand that. Because, like, once we give somebody something or we give them a game, we don't know what they're doing with it. We don't know. Like, there's been a couple artists that I'm not going to say their name that are big that was like, oh, I want to work with you. And I did send them some. The next thing I know, like, one of their homies from the clique, their clique that we don't even know who this is, but it's like, oh, that's so and so's homeboy. Like, I don't want so and so's homeboy on my songs. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? No disrespect to him.
No, it's not. I mean, but it wasn't what it was intended.
It's still your
for.
Intellectual property.
Right. It is, but, you know, still, I'm like, let's have a relationship, you know, deeper than just, oh, see, and I think that's what's changed the game with the internet. It advanced us and moved us fast, but then it kind of took the personal part out of doing music, like, together with people. That's why when you hear a Stevie Wonder song or you hear, you know, a Chaka Khan song or you hear all these older songs, why they still hit is because they made it together and they was there and it was a vibe that they had and they translated it on music and then we love it to this day. Now it's just like, here, bro, get on this. I'm going to email it to you. That's weak. You know what I mean? That's why we listen to it for 2 weeks and then where's the next email?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. I think that's one of the things that I don't like about the consumption of music now. Right. It's like you can drop a project. 5.0 can hit today. Right. Next week, somebody on Twitter is going to be like, hey, what's up with the new album?
Like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
When I dropped the last one, they're like, what's up with the new one? Like, the new one.
I mean, you guys have some research.
Like, how many times have you heard this one?
Like, right.
Do you consume music like that?
Not really, because I honestly, you know, and it's probably to my detriment, but I don't really listen to a lot of new music, really.
Because I was like, I got into a full argument with some people on Instagram Live when, what album was that?
I forgot what's album, but it was on Jay-Z? Thanksgiving. Was it on Thanksgiving? Was
I don't remember. One? What the fuck album dropped, right?
Right.
No, it wasn't 444.
It was Kendrick.
Okay. When Damn dropped. When Damn dropped, I'm in a full-fledged argument with these stupid-ass motherfuckers on Instagram. The album dropped 3 days ago. They like, the album is classic.
Yeah.
Bruh.
You see, you was arguing with squirrels. I'm going to teach you something, bro.
The funny part about it, I jumped in on the Instagram Live, so I'm looking at him arguing. Going and up. He
like,
stopped.
What are you doing?
He said, you know what? I'm tripping. What the fuck am I? I'm tripping right now. Yeah.
Right.
I'm tripping talking to you, peon.
Right.
Because y'all consumed the album in 48 hours and said it was classic.
Right.
You don't even know all the songs.
Can't even give you titles.
Right.
And I was just like, you know what? That's why I had a moment of clarity. He thought it was the funniest shit ever.
And you know what it is, too? Is like, now that we could listen to them all on our phones and listen to when we want to, you didn't have a CD that, like, I remember buying a CD or going to a warehouse and buying a CD and just putting it in something and having to sit there and listen to it a couple times.
Fuck that, opening the motherfucker up was the biggest
thing. And knowing how to open it so you don't tear the plastic.
Yep. So you don't break the little tab off.
All of that, like, you know, so.
Oh, so now music is just so readily available. You don't have to necessarily lock in on it.
Right.
Because I could just listen to it right now while I'm on Twitter, while I'm on Instagram.
Right. You're not really, I remember sitting down this new album came out and just doing just that. Like, it wasn't about being on your phone at the time. So it was just like, oh, let me listen to it.
But how would you prefer your fans
to
consume your music? Like, would you like that zone out experience? But would also limit the amount of people that you reach.
I see that because I make car music, so a lot of the people that mess with me have to be from the car world, so they listen to my songs in the car. So that could be a good thing because they want to put something on that they could just let play to however long they get to their destination. But then, you know, this new album that I have going on is like, it's a mix between that. And then I have some records that you could actually play in this one record I have with me, Buddy, and Problem. He been dope. And you could play that against anybody's song right now. I guarantee it. You want to hear the Migos? Okay, well then put Where the Party At with Polyester, Buddy, and Problem on too. Mm. And you know, and I'm starting to see that. With certain things that I've done, like with G Perico, like that record with G Perico, it's like we're taking those, you know, at least for me, it's like getting into that world, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a gang of strip clubs that play Get My Stacks, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I never had Polyester Saint songs playing and get in there, but I see why now. You know, I see how.
Do you have a preference as where people get your music, or you just like, just get the shit?
No, get it. However, it's all over.
It's all good.
I mean, that's the squirrels, man. I'm not going to complain about them. They're going to do what they're going to do. Like, if you're going to leave.
What's your vendetta with squirrels?
I'm just saying, like
you relate everything negative.
Hey, low-key, that's a good analogy, though. Like,
you don't never get mad at squirrels. You know what I'm saying? They go and pick stuff.
Until a squirrel, jump in your moon roof or some shit.
You never. They never
say, I ain't, fuck it.
And if it is, all right, man, you're trying to get yours. Now get out.
What do you think the future of the music business is going, man? You see stuff like, oh, girl, I forgot her name, Cash Me Outside, just
Danielle.
Got a deal.
Danielle, you know, I don't know her fucking name.
Somebody,
she changed her name.
Bad Baby.
Bad Barbie?
Bad Baby, I think it's Bad Baby.
Well, I mean, what they're doing is what they've been doing.
She's a squirrel.
It's based on everything but the music now. That's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just the nature of the game at this point. But, you know, it'll change.
That, I was having a, not an argument, but I was having a discussion with some people the other day about that. I'm like, yeah, we can be upset about that, but this shit has been happening.
Right.
Like,
it's, she's not the first one that happened.
She's not the first.
Happened.
She's not going to be the last.
And what has happened to the people that we've seen do that? You know, I hope her all the success. Right. I don't wish nobody bad on none. You know, she went from being on a talk show to getting some bread. How can I be mad at that? You know what I'm saying? But I don't make music with her. I don't, you know, I don't listen to her.
I nothing to do with that.
She's not stopping. You know, if it's not hurting my pockets, it ain't hurting my feelings.
And on top of that, some of the homies wrote for her. So it's like, the homies is eating. I can't be mad at that.
You're right.
And that happens all the time. All the it's going to be time. Another one.
Is there anybody that you refuse to work with? Based on whatever. It could be not necessarily talent or...
Somebody try to ask them to email a beat, probably.
And is there anybody specifically that you refuse to work with?
No. There's been people that asked for beats and then was like, oh, yeah, we'll meet up. And then was like, oh, well, send me an email. And then I just never did. So I'll work with them when they come correct.
Gotcha.
It's about they shit.
So you got your pull-up game got to be strong.
Right.
You got to pull up.
Right. It just it's not even strong. It's just respectable. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's make songs like people make songs. Let's not make songs like robots.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's not talk to each other like on a digital level. Let's be analog with our, you know what I'm saying, with ourselves.
And I feel like the technology allows us to advance to a different level, but we're still so stuck in just to being remedial with this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Because like, it's making us be that way. Have you ever seen this movie called Idiocracy?
No.
Nah.
Watch that. And it came out in 2006, 2007, and it was funny. It's a comedy, but when you watch that and then you think about what I was watching it, I was like, wow, in 2006, because it was basically like a movie where these people got put in a capsule and they got paid by the government. Oh, we're going to wake you up in 100 years. But they woke up, something happened in the world, and they wind up waking up way later, and the world is all changed.
Shit.
So when you watch that and you see where we're at, you're going to be like, wow, we're headed. We are
in that direction.
We are going. We are headed right in that direction.
What do you think? Okay, real quick before we wrap up. What do you think about where society is now? Do you think, I mean, and obviously you just said we're progressively going in that direction. Do you think there are benefits or do you think it's all negative?
It's not all negative. I'm just.
With, let's say, the presidential administration, with police brutality, with the energy, the overall energy in the world is
fucked up. Overall energy is different. And what I'm realizing, like, for us, because I have a 4-year-old son, mm-hmm. and so, like, you know, we came before cell phones was everybody had one, before everybody had a laptop. When you had to call somebody and say, oh, I'm gonna meet up with you. I'm gonna meet you at McDonald's at da 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 in 30 minutes. Be there.
And you
was there because
you had
if you guys missed each other, then you might not see that person.
Right.
Like, I'm glad that I grew up in that time and then going into this, because growing up in this time and not having those type of things or that type of mentality, like, to me is making us, you know, very, very, like, it's just making us like holograms. Mm-hmm. Like, we're here, but we're not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Present at all.
So that's what I would say these times are, you know. And when you have a kid, you really think about those things. Before I had a kid, I just thought about how these times affect me.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm a real person.
You can do whatever.
Yeah. Now I'm like, man, the way this computers and everything taking us, where it's taking us.
So do you let your son deal with the tablets and the phones and
see,
all that?
See, he has a tablet, and I realized he went crazy ham with it. Everything was other. I ate tablet. I went to sleep, woke up, tablet. Yeah. So now he knows, like, I'll give it to him if he does something good.
Okay.
Or, like, not every day. Like, some days will go by before he could get on it, because I realized he turned into a tablet monster.
I see it with family members. I see it with other. And yeah. Again, people raise their kids however they want to. And I've seen some people that raise great kids on that as well, but I just see that I'm like, damn, like, that's all they do. They're locked in with just the tablet in their face.
Right. Tablet, you know,
iPhone, all that stuff. Now back to the music, man. When we gonna get this 5.0?
See, that's the thing. Like, I wanted to put it out like in the next month or so, But the way, like, we're trying to roll it out and all that, I don't know. Maybe the top. I don't want to do it the top of the year, but it is getting towards the end of this year, and it's so fresh and new. I wouldn't want to put it out now and then it be considered old in, like, what, 3 months?
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that came out in 2017. Like, right. It's January.
Right. Stop it. Like, stop it.
You know?
And you said you got 3 projects to follow after that?
Yeah.
They're already done?
No, they're not, but they're in the works. Like, me, for everything is, like, I work at everything on the same time, so something might be this progress and this here, and then I work with other people. Like, me, I realized after a while, me being an artist and a producer, it's like I'm wearing, like, 6 hats because I go do the same thing for somebody else when they're just doing them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just rapping on stuff, giving it to somebody else, or other people are giving them beats, and they're just, their whole job is just rapping. Like, my job is a lot of things, but I think I was built for it. I know I was built for it.
I was about to say, that doesn't bring any extra pressure, or if it does bring pressure, it ends up elevating the craft.
Yeah, and I had to learn how to, like, okay, now say no. I had to learn to say no, I don't have time, and give myself time too, because I realize how important it is for me to keep putting projects out because people actually like it.
Absolutely. Well, what's up with Mars Lovejoy?
To be honest, I haven't talked to her in a minute. Wow. To be honest, I be seeing her, like, doing her modeling. She was always doing modeling since a kid, but I haven't had a conversation with her in a minute.
Now, you've been instrumental, like you were talking about G Perico, doing a lot of stuff from him. Who, aside from him, who do you feel like, and you could be putting us on somebody, who's that next person that's coming from LA that, you know,
that you believe in,
like, that we may or may not even know at this point?
Honestly, I mean, you know, I would say Buddy's about to do a lot. He's already doing a lot, but he's about to do a lot. But I always knew Buddy was going to do a lot. Mm-hmm. I just knew it just had to be the right time. Like, he was always making dope songs, but it was like people had to understand his message and where he's coming from. And also, like, I felt like him and Casey, they fell into that, they were in that category of, oh, these are the young guys. Now they've been around for a long time. They're still young, but it's like you're older in music. Like, you've had fans for almost 10 years.
Right.
So, like, their message had to be, even with themselves, I don't know, but even to an audience, like, okay, well, you can't be like, I'm the young guy anymore.
Because
we've been listening to you for six years.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and I feel like they got it figured out. Like, Casey's got to figure. I went over to Casey's studio, and his new album, he was playing me his songs, and he just elevated himself. He's, you know.
I'm sorry. I just want to try to decode some of these albums, and maybe you can tell me, maybe not. Right?
Okay.
Okay. So one of them is gonna possibly be an instrumental.
Right.
Okay. Do you see yourself doing, like, an EP or a whole project with another artist?
Yeah, I'm going to do, okay, there's an artist named Larry June. I don't know if you guys know Larry June. He's from the Bay. He's really good. If I say who's one of the ones that's going to do something,
Larry June.
Larry June.
Okay.
Like, and we just was kicking it, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. He moved out here from the Bay.
Dope.
He's really good. And his whole program is tight.
Okay. So that's 2. What's that other project going to be themed around, or it could be that 5
So there's open. So there's I'm gonna do the instrumental. Mm-hmm. Me and G Perico are gonna do an album just me and him. I'm gonna do another album called Can't Be Faded. I did a mix like a couple years back called Can't Be Faded Volume 1. I'm gonna do Volume 2.
Okay.
And then probably another American Muscle or something like that.
There you go, man. Always working hard, bro.
And then Les. Me and Les have one too. But we're like, it's like 4 songs in. We're probably gonna do like another 5 or something like that. And even those 4 songs, we did those like in a night. So,
God damn.
Yeah.
Dude, is it hard for you to actually put out music, but like to create a concept? Like, what's your method when you go into to create music? Is it always different, or is it like, yo, set the vibe?
This album, I did it very different than I've done all my other ones. The other ones, I would just make songs and then be like, oh, that song was good. And this song I made this day, because I have like a lot of songs that I never will use. And then I would piece it together. This time I made some of the beats all first. I was like, oh, I knew some of them. I might have went in the studio and just laid a hook. and let that live. Then came another day and put the first verse. Then came another, you know, all my other albums, I'll just do a song the whole way through. This one, I kind of like pieced it together. And it was different, but I liked it.
All right, you remind me a lot of Pharrell and DJ Quick, like a fusion of those two, right? And I've heard Pharrell on some occasions say that he's thrown beats away. I've seen Quick say he's actually erased songs.
Yeah.
That just, I'm not going to use them no more. Fuck it. I've heard Dr. Dre say he smashed up CDs with old beats on them. For you, when you have that untouched music, whether it's beats or actual project songs or whatever, do you sit there? Do you hold them? What do you do with that?
It just sometimes just sits in the iTunes. I don't never erase Thank unless God. Sometimes I might be making a beat and then I'm making it and I'm just like, this is not hot, and I'll just erase it and start all over and make something else. Yeah, you know,
that could be that choosing
right,
or something.
Right.
Damn,
right. But I mean, because actually one of my other albums, one time it was a song that I wasn't going to use, and then my homie heard it came in on the iTunes. He was like, ooh, and he was like, man, I was like, but I'm not using that. And he was like, you tripping. And then I winded up putting Bad Luck on it, actually. And then it went.
Get the fuck out of here. See, shit like that, you just never know, man.
Man, talented people always take their shit for granted.
So if people want to reach out to you, whether they want to do music with you, whether they want to just tap in.
No, they
gotta
pull up if they want to do music.
True, but
they
gotta reach out.
You can contact me on the email, but then we gotta pull up
there
after that, you know?
How can I get at you, though?
We can. You could do Instagram or Twitter as Polyester, PolyS3R, and then you can hit me on the email wehellagood@gmail.com.
Polyester.
I want to do that. I don't know if we can. If we not, I definitely want you to press play on it. But do you have the song with Problem and Buddy?
I think I
throw the aux cord on there. Just, you know what I'm saying? Can we do that to end
my
the show? We can't do that, man. God damn it. Well, we're going to have to get him a charger. Sorry, people. We're going to let you hear some
exclusive
shit.
We're going to put it on the fucking website.
We're
going to leak that motherfucker.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you coming on through, man. Polyester, always a pleasure, bro. Shit, it's Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head,
West Coast.
Up. Anything you need. All right, so homegrownradio.net. You're out.
Perfect.